Thank you, Laura. Good morning, everyone. What a great day. Amen.
Amen.
Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians and the 15th chapter. Good to see you here today. I didn't get a chance to get around everyone, but I'm so glad to see you. Pray the Lord would really work in your heart today and exalting His Son, the Lord, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are going to have that family-focused revival in April with Rand Hummel, who works with the Wilds, a Christian camp. He will be here on Sunday morning starting his ministry to us. So it'll just be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, and Tuesday. So try to make those meetings if you will. He texted me this morning about 6 o'clock and said, "He is risen." And I text back, "He is risen indeed." Hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, the blessing of Christ's resurrection. The focal point of all history and the future as well is Jesus Christ. If you don't understand who Jesus Christ is, you don't understand what life is about. The focal point of all history and the future is Jesus Christ. Jesus is His personal name. It means Savior. He will save. Christ is a title. It means the Anointed One. There's only one person that could come and do the work. Just like the three Old Testament offices, or what are they again, congregation? Anybody remember? There is the prophet, the priest, and the king. And Jesus Christ is the only one that fulfills all three offices. They were picture and types. He is, if I can say this, the real deal. He's the person. They pictured Him. And when He came, He was the Lamb of God that doesn't cover our sins, but actually takes them away. Now, God has a record in heaven. And on one side of it, He has all of our sins. And on the other side, He has Jesus Christ. So if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, He cleanses the record. Because He puts our sin debt on Jesus Christ on the cross, and He takes the fact that Jesus raised up from the dead and puts that into the glorification part, which means God will be glorified in everyone who trusts His Son. Now, you need a perfect holiness to enter into heaven. And the only one who's perfectly holy is Jesus Christ. And therefore, we need to acknowledge Him as Lord. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a right to reign as the King in our heart. He is not only the high priest, the priest, but He offered Himself as the sacrifice. Not a lamb, but Himself as the Lamb of God. And then, of course, He is the prophet. Thus saith the Lord. He doesn't argue with you. He doesn't debate with you. He just says, this is the way it is. That's what a prophet does. And so today we want to look at the words of Jesus Christ as written in the book of 1 Corinthians. The Lord used Apostle Paul to write these. Paul was able to see Jesus literally. The Lord appeared to Saul, who was a very religious person called a Pharisee, and he did all the laws of the Old Testament, tried to obey them perfectly, but he did so in his own strength because he wanted to earn the favor of God. How many of you know you can't earn the favor of God now? You should have come to that point in your life where, after viewing the Ten Commandments, you've broken every one of them. We all have. And you need somebody to stand there as your advocate, your substitute, your replacement to pay for your sin debt, or you're still in your own sins. I carry my sins around with me long enough. And at 27 years of age, I said, I'm done with this, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and I want to go after Jesus Christ. I trusted Jesus Christ to save me from my sins and to give me new life in Him. It's called being born again. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. You don't grow into it. You have to be born into it. So the whole family in heaven and earth is a family that has looked at Jesus, has asked Him to be their Savior, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that He is who he says he claimed to be, and that his words are true. Jesus said this: there are a lot of ways to heaven, and I'm just one of them. You can just ask the politically correct people, the newspapers, the magazines, the media. They'll all tell you there's so many ways to heaven, and Jesus is just one of them. And that's called a lie. That's called a lie. We live in a society, structural cultures today, where there's no really absolute. It's just, how do you feel about it? Well, I'm not always feeling so good. How about you? So if I got to go on that, you know, we're in real trouble. No, it's a matter of truth. There is a thing called truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. That means others are what? Liars. Boy, you've really got a maximized brain today. I just love the, you know, really smart people. If Jesus says, I am the truth, that means the other ways that people claim to heaven are called lies. And they say, you know, be careful putting all your investments in one basket. You've got to diversify. Well, that might work with regard to monies, but it doesn't work with regard to salvation. You better be putting all your eggs in the basket of Jesus Christ and Christ alone. The fact he rose from the grave proves he is who he says he is. And the message, the good news of salvation, is to be found in him. What about what happens after we die? Well, all that's in this 1 Corinthians 15. We can't look at all the verses today. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 20 and then focus on about 6 or 7 verses. And then we'll have an invitation and then we will go home. You know, your whole life could change in this message right here if you transfer your trust from anything else to Jesus Christ alone. Your life could change if you do that. I mean, right in just this period of time. So very important that we ask God to speak to our hearts. Let's read the text first and then we'll go to prayer. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 20, I would just want to read. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. They're relying on the gospel of Jesus Christ. By which also ye are saved, that means from our sins, if ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Don't change the message. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received. In other words, he believed it too. Here's what he believed. That Christ died for our what? Sins, according to the scriptures. The Bible said he would do that. Isaiah 53 is clear on that. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. That's part of Isaiah 53. They pierced my hands and my feet, Psalm 22. And then verse 4 here. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. How many days was Jesus dead? 3. And there's this guy Cephas. That's a nickname meaning a stone. It's a name for Peter, nickname for Peter. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, that's the 12 disciples. And he's not talking about Judas there. Matthias came on as a disciple after Judas betrayed him. Verse 6, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. This is the resurrected Christ appearing to people in a 40-day period before he ascended back into heaven. 500 people don't have the same hallucination. By the way, hallucinations are on the inside, not on the outside. Apparitions are on the outside. If an angel appeared to you, a couple weeks ago I've kind of played a little joke on you and said, I had a dream, an angel appeared to me last night, so there's many ways to salvation. About half of you started groaning, I'm glad you did, because that would have been a lie. Any of those things that might appear to us, and they can happen, by the way, or it wouldn't be written in there, even if an angel from heaven suddenly appeared in your room and said, there's many ways to salvation, you're to count that angel as a liar. Think about that. So you want to stay with the Word of God. That's Galatians 1, 8, 9. That's how Mormonism started, for instance. And Mormonism is a false system of belief. Just to let you know, that is not the way of salvation. So in verse 4, he that was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. This is the resurrected Christ. After that he was seen of 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. While he's writing this, some of those 500 people are still alive. And they're still witnessing that they saw Jesus Christ after he rose from the dead. Of course, they're all dead now and in heaven. Verse 7. After that, he was seen of James. This is the half-brother of Jesus. The other children of Mary. James is one of them. Jesus was the first. She was a virgin when she had Jesus. How many of you still believe that? Say amen. That's a miracle, by the way. Anybody believe in miracles today? To be born of a virgin is a miracle. It supersedes God's natural order of things. That's a miracle. Okay, so verse 7. After that, he was seen of James, who, by the way, didn't believe on Jesus until he saw him resurrected. Think about that. He wrote the book of James, by the way. Here is an Orthodox Jewish man growing up, and he does not believe that his brother, Jesus, is the Messiah like his parents told him he was, until Jesus resurrected from the dead. And when he saw his half-brother, Jesus, resurrect from the dead, then he believed Jesus was the Messiah. You know, sometimes it takes a little while, amen, for the light to come on. Even in Christian homes. Yes or no? It does. So keep preaching the word and living it and ask the Lord to remove the blinders. Verse 8, last of all he was seen of me. So this is Paul writing now. Also as one born out of due time. Man, when I came to know Christ as my Savior, it just wasn't fitting. By the way, how many of you know to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior never will be convenient? If you're not know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, it'll never be convenient for you to trust Him. I can tell you, you're just going to have to do it. It'll never be convenient. Oh, when this happens, and I get a certain age, and after I do this, forget it. You've got to trust Jesus Christ right now in the state that you're in. You don't need anything else. You don't need to add anything to your life. You don't need to take anything away except for sin's dominance in your life. Get rid of it. Let Jesus reign in your heart. Amen. Get saved today. So, Pastor Long, you're preaching the message before the message. I know, I'm having a great time too, by the way. All right, verse 9. And Paul evaluates his own spiritual state. I am the least of the apostles. You know, before he wanted to be, I want to be the greatest one, you know. And I'm not meet, it's not fitting for me to be called apostles. Not even fit for me to even be called apostle. Why? Because I persecuted the church of God. He helped put other Christians to death before he trusted Christ. Can God change a heart? Yes or no? If you're not sure about that, read Son of Hamas. Here's an Islamic militant, murderous family. His dad was a leader in Hamas, and his son trusted Christ as a Savior. How many think there's a little tension in that family? Yes or no? But he trusted Christ as a Savior. You can read it for yourself. How the grace of God can change your heart. By the way, that's what we need. We need the grace of God to be working in people's heart and pray for their salvation. And here's Paul's testimony, verse 10. Ought to be your testimony. Boy, I'm such a good religious person. God had to save me. Did he say that? Look at verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. That's the divine enablement, the love of God overshadowing the heart, and he receiving Jesus as the Savior, believing upon Him as He is. That's grace. God will give you grace if you ask Him for it. Right now, grace is being extended to anyone here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior today. Grace is being given to you as the Word goes forth. When we finish preaching the Word, grace will go with you if you receive it in your heart. That's how it goes with you. Verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I didn't waste it. Oh, Lord, help us not to waste grace. Amen. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Boy, he went to work then, allowing God to work through him. Yet not I, but what was working in him? The grace of God, which was with me. Verse 11, therefore, whether it were for they so we preach and so ye believed. We preached the word of grace and you believed it. That's most of the people listening. Verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Some people teach that. Once you're dead, you're gone. That's it. Annihilation. Not so. Verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Uh-oh. Nobody rises from the dead if Christ is not risen. But here's the thing. He is risen. Amen. Verse 14, If Christ be not risen, then our preaching in vain, and your faith is also vain. Amen. We're wasting our time if it's not true. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Wow. So you mean Christ is saying that if he doesn't rise from the dead, he didn't raise from the dead, nobody else is going to be either? That's right. Verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. It's both ways. Verse 17, if Christ be not raised, our faith is vain, worthless, foundationless, no hope, waste of time. But you see, Christ is risen. And ye are yet in your sins. It gets worse. We're still carrying around our sin debt, our sin account. I hope you get rid of that today if you haven't yet. You got to trust Christ and Christ alone. Verse 18, then they also which were fallen asleep in Christ are perished. All the people that died before are in hell if Christ did not rise from the dead. Wow, what a statement. Everything hinges on Jesus Christ, yes or no? That's what it means. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You mean the only confidence we have is while we're living, and when we die we have no confidence? Waste of time, he says. Wow. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead, that's present tense, and become the first fruits of them that slept. What's first fruits? That means there's a whole lot of more fruits coming, the first part of a full crop. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your loving kindness today through Jesus Christ. I ask you to strengthen me by your Spirit and the inner man right now, and everyone listening to your word today would receive it as your word, not the word of a man, but indeed as it is the word of God. Christ, you are to be exalted. You are seated by the right hand of the Father in heaven right now, praying that everyone would believe upon you. And Lord, open our hearts and minds to be renewed if we have trusted you as our Savior. Be renewed in the spirit of our mind. If we have not, pray that today we would trust you and you alone to save us from our sins. In the name of the exalted Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The blessing of Christ's resurrection. There are blessings connected with this. I could preach 20 sermons on this. How many of you think we just got one today? Amen? Okay. So, to be properly related to the true God, you're going to have to believe upon his Son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins, was buried for 3 days, and then his spirit came back into his dead body. He stood up and walked out of the grave. Let me say that again. He died on the cross for our sins. He was deader than dead. I don't know if you can be that. Some of the old preachers in the South used to say, he's deader than dead. No, he's dead. You don't get deader than dead. He's dead. Dead for 3 days. Say that with me. Dead for 3 days. And after 3 days, his spirit re-entered his body and he rose from the dead in that crucified body. It was glorified. He stood up. He walked out of the grave. All God's people say, amen. In John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We have the testimony of Thomas. You know what he was? What he said? He said, hey, listen. I know I wasn't present at the last meeting. Be careful about missing a meeting. Amen. I wasn't present at the last meeting. And you guys say Jesus appeared to you. I tell you what. Unless this finger right here sticks it in the palm of his hand and my hand thrust in his side, I am not going to believe. Well, about a week went by. John chapter 20 is where this is written. Jesus appeared to him. This time Thomas is with him. And the first thing he said is, peace be unto you. That would be kind of scary. You know, the person isn't here. And all of a sudden, boom, they appear in a room. How many of you think that person would get your attention, yes or no? That's what happened. And so he appeared in the room, and he said to Thomas, now this shows you Jesus knows every word we say. He knows every thought that we think, every act that we perform, everything we say. And he knows it all the time. Wow. That's sobering, yes or no? So the only thing that's really going to govern our heart, mind, and soul is Jesus Christ himself, the knowledge of that. He says, peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, forget about everybody else for all. Hey, Thomas. Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And I'm sure he said it with the same gusto that Thomas said it. The same articulation. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. That's right. Jesus is God in human flesh. And by the way, there were a lot more miracles that were performed. John 20, 30 and 31. But why did Jesus perform miracles? And they wrote it down. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. What was the biggest evidence that Jesus rose from the grave? The empty tomb, right? The angels appeared and said, he's not here, he's risen. No, those are good. Those are good. The biggest evidence that Jesus rose from the grave is personal and corporate appearances to the believer. James, Cephas, which is Paul. Then you have James, his brother. Remember I said he did not even believe until after Jesus rose from the grave. And then 500 people. What, we got a couple hundred maybe here today? Times this congregation again and then add 100 people. And Jesus appeared to them within that 40-day period that they would believe that he has indeed risen from the dead. And then he said one time, "Give me. I'm not a spirit just standing here. A spirit just doesn't have flesh and bone. He is a spirit, by the way, but he just means only a spirit." And so there he was in his glorified body. I want us to look at verses 9 and 10 here, which offer saving grace to all sinners. I just love that. Verses 9 and 10, the blessing of Christ's resurrection, number one is that it offers saving grace to all sinners. Listen, no matter how many sins you've committed against God, and if you're like me, you've forgotten a long time ago how to count them all. No matter how many sins you committed against God, if you will come and trust Christ as your Savior, he will cancel your sins. How does he do that? With his own blood. That is personal. I personally believe that Jesus washed away my personal sins with his own personal blood sacrifice for me. All God's people say, amen. Verse 9 and 10, Paul says this, I am the least of the apostles. I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. I killed other Christians before I came to know Christ, believe upon Christ myself. That's pretty rotten, by the way, isn't it? Yes or no? Now, let's get real practical and personal here, folks. If somebody shot your grandma, okay, or your brother or your sister or your husband or your wife, and the next 2 weeks later, they come to you and say, I have trusted Christ as my Savior, are you inclined to listen to them? The answer is no. That's why we need grace. Grace can change a murderous heart. Yes or no? Grace can change an adulterer. Grace can change a thief. Grace can change a liar. Grace can change a self-righteous person trying to earn the favor of God, offering up to God all of our good stuff. He doesn't want it. He wants your reliance on his Son. That's perfect righteousness. That's the righteousness that we need, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So he offers saving grace, verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. He just went to work for God because he was saved by God's grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Heaven will not be heaven if people are up there bragging on how good they were to get there. We got that on earth, amen? No, we'll only be bragging on Jesus Christ because you get there through faith in him. Number two, the blessing of Christ's resurrection gives our preaching value and power. It is not worthless speech. How many of you get tired of worthless speech? Just get yourself involved in politics. A lot of worthless speech right there. You know, if you really want to involve yourself with a group of liars, look at The View on TV. Please don't do it. That will be called the carnal view, the wicked view. Let me go on. Why don't you go with God's view? Look in the Bible. People talking endlessly and constantly about worthless things. Lesbianism, like Ellen the Degenerate, on TV all over the place. Sickening. Sickening. That is not of God. That is not of God. That is a blasphemy of God's order in our society. And I know I'm not popular here today, and I'm not even trying to be. I'm trying to be very kind and gracious. What does God say about these things? We know in our heart that God created us, male and female. We know it. And He did so for His own glory. And He does have an order of things. Read the Bible and find out what it is. So it gives our preaching value. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, we have nothing to say. But He did arise from the dead. Romans 4, 24 and 25. But as for us, to whom it shall be imputed, placed in our account, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses. And by the way, our sins are offensive to God. Our sins are offensive to God. That's why it's mercy and grace He gives to save us. How can you love someone who's constantly fighting against you? Because He's God. That's why. Most of us, if somebody's fighting against us, hey, that's fine. I don't love you either. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, this is the power. You can even love your enemies. How about that one? Is that power? To love your enemies? Jesus said, what big deal is it if you love those who love you? Anybody can do that. But I'll give you the power to love your enemies. Even while we were sinning against Christ, He died for us. While we were sinning against Him, in the process of sinning against Him, He died for us. That's true love. And then He was raised again. That's resurrection for our justification, to declare us right with God. I want to be right with God. Well, then you better believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. All God's people say, amen. Romans 10:13 through 14, well, how are people going to get saved if they don't have a preacher? Every one of you, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you are the preacher. Proclaim the truth like I'm doing here today. So the resurrection of Christ, the blessing of Christ's resurrection, it offers saving grace to everyone. And it shows that our preaching has value and power because He is the only way. Look at verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Everybody here is a person of faith. I love it when people start getting on that. Well, are you these people of faith? And then they start pushing you a certain way. Everybody in here is a person of faith. Everybody in the world is a person of faith. Faith just means what you were depending on. What you're trusting in, that's faith. And we need to be trusting in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Not only for our salvation from hell and sin, but for daily living as well. It assures us that our faith has a foundation, bears fruit, and has granted us a definite future with God. Our faith, because of the resurrection of Christ, has foundation, bears fruit, and has granted us a definite future with God. 1 Corinthians 3:11, foundation. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:16, talking about fruit. The gospel came unto you, and it brings forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. John 14:2, I go to prepare a place for you. John 17:24, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Jesus is praying, and this is what He prays to the Father. Father, it's my desire. This is what I want to happen. And it will happen, by the way. To all of those You've given to me, in other words, other ones that believed upon Him, that they would be with me where I am, that they would behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for thou lovest me from the foundation of the world. Father, let everyone who you have given me, who has believed upon me, which is the same, would see me where I am after I resurrected from the dead, after I was crucified, buried for 3 days, resurrected. They would see me where I am, and that they would behold my glory. Now, I am one of those. I want to behold the glory of Jesus Christ, the resurrected, glorified Jesus Christ. In a human body, God in a human body. Amazing. It is true. The fourth thing of the blessing of Christ's resurrection, and this is not an exhaustive message on those, but verses 15 through 18, it assures us that we are the true witnesses of God. Verses 15 through 18. Yea, and we are found false witnesses. If Christ didn't resurrect from the dead, we're false witnesses, because God said he did. And we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised, if he raised up not, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Sound like he's got circular reasoning going on here. He does. He does. The guarantee of the resurrection of the believer is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. So those who trusted Christ in the past are in hell if Christ didn't resurrect. But folks, he did resurrect. And they are in heaven with him. 2 Peter 1, 16 and 17. We didn't come here to move the pieces around and try to be real cunning and clever. No, no, no. That's a waste of time. We're preaching unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. There's a difference there. And God the Father said to God the Son, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Wow. Isaiah 53, 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Romans 10, Paul quotes that same statement from the prophet Isaiah. How shall they preach except they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, get it, folks. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm preaching to you the word of God today. Is your faith in Christ? That's what I'm trying to accomplish. Cephas, oh, I said Paul. No, Cephas is a nickname for Peter. 1 Corinthians 15:5 there. Sorry about that mistake. 2 Corinthians 5:6 through 8. Therefore, we're always confident, knowing that while we're home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present from the Lord. None of this floating around in a thing, false doctrine called purgatory. It doesn't exist. That does not exist. If you die, you're either present with the Lord or you're in hell. And then there's a judgment coming one day. Jesus is coming back as the judge, and he's going to ask you the question, I do believe, is your faith in me? That's the only question. And if it's no, you will have eternal damnation. Why? Because you have the way preached to you, and you did not obey it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is a command from God. But if you believe upon it, if you trust upon Christ, you'll have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. That's resurrection power. Life. I want life. I don't want to live in death. Spiritual death. You know what a little taste of spiritual death is? Let me just give you a little taste of spiritual death. What's a taste of spiritual death? Somebody dating you for a long time or supposedly loving you for a long time, but they don't want to marry you. Why don't they want to marry you? Because they're not committed to you. That's why. That's a taste of death. I had a friend in college. He dated this girl 5 years. Finally, her mother called and said, are you going to marry my daughter? You need to either be 100% in or get out. And folks, that's death. You think Jesus is going to be a part-time Jesus? He that hath the Son hath life. Not part-time life. You don't lose it. Get in with both feet. If you're in, be in with all your heart. It's called commitment. Commitment to Jesus Christ alone. So selfish, the world, so selfish. Holding back a commitment to each other, to God Himself, and what God desires. By the way, marriage is a picture of Christ and His love for the church. So if you commit yourself, two people commit themselves to Jesus Christ, male and female, and they're dating for whatever period of time, you know, they either get married or get out. Because that's what God wants to picture. Himself. God is trying to reveal Himself in marriage. That's why two women get married and two men get married doesn't qualify. It's not even marriage. It's just lust with the stamp of approval from the so-called Supreme Court. False teaching. So, you know, you only hear this in church probably, and not every church, by the way, because they've stepped off the truth. Folks, let's rely on the truth. Rely on the truth. Truth gives our relationships meaning and value. And apart from God, our relationships are meaningless. They really are. And our existence is meaningless. But God came to restore that which Satan tried to destroy. And Satan's still doing the same thing today. Lies, lies, lies. If you know the truth and you believe it, if you do what God says, it will set you free from the slavery to sin. That's what freedom is. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I love living as a free man, yet I'm underneath the lordship of Christ. I'd rather be underneath the lordship of Jesus Christ and let Him master my life than underneath the lordship of Satan and him kicking me around telling me what to do. That's the only two choices, by the way. That's the only two choices. Let us go back to God. Amen. The resurrected Christ. Another blessing here, verses 19 and 20. You know, one of the great things, the fifth thing is, it assures believers that our sins are forgiven by God. Oh, I just love this one. Verse 17. And if Christ is not raised, and He is, your faith is vain and you are yet in your sins. God still has your sin account written down. How would you like waking up every day to a God that says, there's no way you can please me? And just as soon as you mess up, I'm going to bust you. Wow. That's how some people view God. God has shown us the way of salvation and freedom and living. In Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So the gospel of Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, is a message to all that God loves us and wants to forgive us. God loves us and He wants to forgive us of our sins. That's why He sent His Son. I want to forgive you of your sins, but you've got to place your faith in me. That'd be Jesus speaking, of course. Some of the greatest words you could ever hear from someone, whether they're saved or not, is this. I love you and I forgive you. Now, you want a good relationship with other people? Well, you sinned against me. I'm going to just go put that one in my pocket. And when I need it, I'll bring it out. You know, that's just your stinking flesh. No, I love you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I love you and I forgive you. Why? I want a relationship with you. Is there anybody in here you want a relationship with? Try that. I love you and I forgive you. Now, who is that an example of? That's the example of God through Jesus Christ. In other words, you can forgive anyone of anything if you look to God, who has forgiven us of all of our sins through faith in Jesus Christ. The most loving and forgiving people of other people in the world ought to be Christians. The believer ought to be exercising love and forgiveness to others. Love is such a strong draw. You know, if you were perfect, I'd love you. No, you wouldn't. Because you don't love me in my imperfection. See, God loves us in our imperfection. That's why he sent his son, the perfect one. Now remember that. Next time we have arguments or contentions about something in our relationships, we need to have mercy and grace with one another. Why? Because that's what we've been given. Read that for yourself, Ephesians 4, 30 and 32, about love and forgiveness of other people. So it assures believers that their sins are forgiven by God, the resurrection of Christ. Number 6 is our last one. We've got to close here. Verses 19 through 20. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If all there is the present day, what a miserable wretch we would be. If all there is, you know, maybe 70 years and I'm strong enough, maybe 80 or 50, and then I die and it's all over with. What a wasted time. But if there is an eternity, by the way, there is, then that makes all the difference in my present day living. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, present tense, and become the first fruits, the first part of a full crop of them that slept, that have fallen asleep or died in Christ. What does one of the blessings of the resurrection? It gives us hope in Christ, both now and for the future. It gives us hope in Christ, both now, well, everyday living, and for the future. That means confident expectation. Christ's resurrection guarantees our own glorious resurrection one day, if we know him. 1 Corinthians 15, 42-45, it's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual glorious body. It's sown a temporal body when we die, it's affected by sins. It's raised a glory and eternal body without the effects of sin. No effects of sin is glorification of the body. Won't that be great? Oh, that will be glory for me. Yes, when you see Jesus Christ face to face. Are you looking forward to seeing Jesus Christ face to face? Well, if you haven't trusted him as your Savior, you don't want to see him, because then he'll stand there judging us in our sins. 1 John 3:2-3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God or the children of God? It doth not yet appear what we shall be in the fullest extent, because we still have a sin nature. But we know that when he shall, that's Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. What does that mean? That means he doesn't want to sin against God anymore. And when he does sin against God, he grieves over the fact he sinned against God. That's what it means. 1 Peter 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, aren't you thankful if we're not getting what we deserve when we trust Christ, hath begotten us again, caused us to come back to life again, unto a living hope, a lively hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we have an inheritance coming. It's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and fades not away. It's not subject to decay, it's pure in every way, and it will retain its beauty forever. The blessings of Christ's resurrection. It offers saving grace to all who will believe. It gives our preaching value and power. It's not worthless talk. It's not just filling time. It assures us that our faith has a foundation, it will bear fruit, and there is a definite future with God. 4, it assures us of being true witnesses of God. We're not liars. Jesus is the only way. 5, it assures believers that their sins are forgiven by God. Don't you want that one? Some of my Muslim friends on my basketball team, I say, what are you guys going to do with your sins? What are you going to do with your sins? Because I didn't say this, but your false religious system doesn't do anything with your sins. What are you going to do with your sins? You know you've sinned against the true God, by the way. What are you going to do with your sins? And you can just see the wheels turn, you know. Give them a gospel tract. I got a new team now that I'm playing upon. A number of guys are devout Muslims. You need to pray for me. They don't like me a whole lot. They don't like me. Why did the same story to begin with? Why did you get this guy on our team? Don't you know white guys can't jump? Oh, get away with this, amen. That's pretty funny. Some of them can. I'm that one, though. Hey, listen, wherever you are, that's a place where Jesus wants to reveal himself. And don't go in there with the self-righteousness that makes people sit. Just tell them, hey, listen, I'm saved by the mercy of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm no better than you are. And I want to let you know this. God loves you, and I'm for you. And then watch them say, huh? It's hard to process that in today's world, isn't it? I love you, and I'm for you. But listen, man, you got to trust Christ. Not the dead Christ, the one who resurrected from the grave, who promised to pay for all of our sins. It assures us that our sins are forgiven by God when we trust Christ. We're true witnesses. Our faith has foundation for now and the future. Our preaching has value and power. Saving grace is offered to all who will believe. And then number 6, it gives the believer hope in Christ both now and in the future. What is it? It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that your word is true. I thank you that your Son is the truth. Your Spirit is the truth. Your word is the truth. And that you made this plan to save sinful man like me, a man who sinned against you over and over again. I thank you for mercy for my sins and grace giving me what I don't deserve. Because of the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, I can be saved from my sins. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would be perfectly formed in me. I have a long way to go of being like you. I pray that your likeness would be perfectly formed in me. I pray that people would see that they don't need to earn my favor to be loved by me, because I didn't have to earn your favor to be loved by you. But Lord, I've got to tell the truth and your gospel of your Son, the good news of his death, burial, and resurrection is the truth. Give us grace to share the truth with those who are believing lies, religious lies. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ. Amen.